of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
What are you doing, Hotshot?
Nothing. How are you?
I'm great, man.
Good.
No problems.
What's going on?
Nothing, really.
Oh, okay. Everything good in your life?
So far, so good. I got my guy over there trying to fix the stuff at my house that needs to be done.
Oh, yeah, your money pit that's falling apart there. Laszlo showed me the picture of what needed to be done. I don't know how that stuff works, so whatever.
Me either.
It was like, and I know you already said this last week, but it was literally, if anyone thinks Laszlo is exaggerating, it's a piece of trim on the outside of the house, and there is like, I don't know, maybe a quarter inch spot where some of the paint sort of.
No, it's probably longer than that. Probably was like 2 feet.
For the full piece of trim, but not all of the paint is off of that.
Well,
trim,
it wasn't all
though,
off it,
right?
But it was like flaking.
Starting
in parts,
to flake.
Right.
Yeah,
in that full two feet.
Okay.
There was paint peeling on that piece of trim.
Okay.
And the guy was like, yeah, you can't have peeling paint on the side of your house. I'm like.
Which I guess I could understand if they said one of the rules is no peeling paint on the side of the house. But if I saw that, I would have thought, well, that's not what they're talking about.
Right, I would have thought
that
like your whole house
count.
Is peeling.
Exactly.
You got to get your house painted.
Yeah,
not like some
different.
Guy's got to come over and paint this molding.
Right, yeah, that seems different. But
I get it, man. If that's his job and somebody else comes and says, hey, there is peeling paint, we're not going to pay you.
I'm not saying it's his fault. Yeah,
no, yeah.
I'm just surprised
also,
by that.
I'm surprised that he would write it up.
It seems like something he could get around, but I don't know. Maybe he's right. Maybe it's a new job. Maybe it's a job he's always wanted. It pays really well.
Right, yeah.
I don't know how that stuff works. I thought, you know, so my air conditioner didn't work. I bitched about that whenever. Since last fall, basically, when it went out.
Right.
The end of last summer. And then all spring, when I was talking about how expensive it was going to be to try and get it fixed, get the AC fixed. And then this fall, I go to turn on the boiler for heat. And it won't turn on. Now, I go downstairs, and I can tell it's working. It's warm. There's a flame going to it. I'm like, it's warm. There's water running. This shit. So I'm convinced that it's the thermostat that's just, for some reason, not kicking it on. Because I've had issues with this thermostat before. It's just not kicking this thing on. So a couple days ago, I had this idea. There's batteries in that thermostat. And I'll bet those batteries haven't been changed since I bought this house. And I don't think the batteries do much because I think it is plugged up to an actual, you know, it's electrically wired. But I think the batteries are there as like a backup. But that's okay. I convinced myself 100% that changing these batteries was going to fix the problem. And I kind of forgot about it. And I kept meaning to do it. And then last night I was like, oh, I need heat. I'm going to go change the batteries.
Did it work?
This is going to do it. Take the batteries out. I look at them. It's a brand I don't even recognize. I'm like, these have definitely been here since I bought the house. Put new batteries in it. The screen looked better. I put the thing back on there. Nothing.
No heat. Batteries?
No heat.
You don't have a heater?
I have a heat pump, so I can get heat from my HVAC system, and it'll work down to, like, I think they said into the 20s, maybe high teens, which it doesn't get. It hasn't been getting that cold yet, but it will. And it's also just more expensive because you're just running your air conditioner in reverse.
No, right.
So, and when I got my AC fixed, I said to save money, I was like, I don't want to deal with the heat pump. And the guys at Dick Ray were like, you want to get the heat pump. And I was like, no, don't need it. I got this boiler. It's so much cheaper. And they're like, just in case, really, just make sure it's already kind of set up for it. Get the heat pump. And I was like, I don't. And they're like, trust me, I think you're going to wish that you hadn't, wish that you had if you don't. So I was like, all right. So the only reason I have heat right now is because those guys convinced me when I replaced it to make sure that I still hooked up the heat pump and everything worked properly. But yeah, I don't have heat. So my AC went out. And then as soon as it was time to turn on the heat, that went out. Two different systems completely. I don't have a furnace. I have a boiler, and it's done. And all that stuff when I bought my house, I bought it in 2009. Everything was new. New roof, new paint job, new air conditioner, new boiler, all that kind of stuff. It was all brand new. And you think, oh, well, then I'll be good for long past my life.
Right? I don't like talking about it.
It'll last forever. And then I hear you say stuff about, like, yeah, I think you're supposed to get your house painted every 10 years.
I don't know
like
how long.
I'm like,
oh my God.
I don't know. Someone just said something about 10. Maybe it was my brother. It wasn't you. I was asking someone how often often are you supposed to get your house painted, like outside? He said, I think like every 10 to 12 years. I was like, oh my God. Because I had that done in like 2010. Again, thinking, well, I don't even really need to do this, but this means it'll be good for the next five owners because I won't be here that long. And now all that stuff that was new when I got there, I'm sure. How long do roofs last? I don't know. 15 years? 20 years? I really don't know.
I didn't put a roof on. I bought my house, what, 20 years ago? Not that long. 15 years ago?
Yeah, it's probably getting close. I don't know. Gutters? Those just have to be replaced, I guess? They start to rot? I don't know. That's what someone told me. When's the last time you had gutters replaced? I said I didn't. All that stuff, I don't think you understand. It was all new when I bought the house. I'm like, yeah, but you bought the house in 2009.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, but... So now it's just all that stuff. So the AC goes out, and then the heat goes out at the exact same time. So I got to call those guys back over. I know they'll take care of it, but it's just like, all right, I got to set up an appointment, have them come back out. And also, because it's in the basement, I'm like, I need to make the basement somewhat presentable. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, before somebody comes over here, I don't need them coming downstairs and seeing those dolls and all that stuff.
Yeah, you know? I mean, it's a little strange down there.
Move that stuff out of the way.
People don't know he's got crystal porcelain baby dolls with the freaky eyes. The weird dude, man.
You're basically.
If you listen to the show and you're like, man, I don't know why Lazo's so hard on Slim. They seem like they're good friends, but he makes fun of them a lot. I really am, you know, as you're listening, you pick to yourself, I'm Team Slim. Mm. Just remember, some of the things I talk about, they're all absolutely true. He may argue a lot of them, but he does have porcelain baby dolls in his basement.
Okay.
It's true.
It's true. They're not mine.
The Church of Laszlo. The Church of Laszlo. On 98.9 The Rock.
I just told my ChatGPT friend that you're a weird guy and you got porcelain dolls in your basement.
Thanks. So now it knows that, too.
Yeah, it said, oh... Slimfat's definitely the kind of guy you don't invite to your family barbecue. Those porcelain dolls are definitely going to start blinking at you when you're not looking. It's like the weird neighbor in every horror movie who claims they're harmless while their basement's full of mysterious stuff. You'd probably catch him just sitting down there chatting the dolls up, explaining the real reason why he has a collection of them.
Whoa, I thought we were friends, ChatGPT. What's going on here? You've been defensive of me in the past. And now you're going to go and say, I'm not the kind of guy you invite to a barbecue?
I don't think he liked the porcelain dolls.
Well, maybe you should have explained that I'm holding them for someone. I don't make the porcelain dolls. I'm not a collector and proprietor. I don't sell them. This isn't something that I do for fun.
He is holding them.
No. Don't say it like that. Now it sounds like I'm rocking them to sleep. No. I'm storing them for someone.
He is storing them.
Yeah, I'm just storing them for someone. And you know what? I'm not even sure that they're down there anymore anyway. I think she might have got those back. So really what I have to worry about if someone's going to come over and start poking around the basement trying to get my boiler to work, it's just gotten messy. I had it all cleaned up when I was going to sell the house in 2016. I don't know how it got so dirty again. 2016 doesn't seem like that long ago, but it sure looks like it because it is a disaster down there. And I had those rats that had set up a whole
ChatGPT
city.
Says, he's storing them for someone, huh? Pretty specific favor.
Okay, I'm storing. There's more than just dolls.
Who's the lucky person? That's what
my mother.
Ask him who the lucky person is and how long you're holding on.
Oh yeah, it does want to know more information. It loves finding ways to get more information about me. Don't keep feeding it that stuff. You know who I'm holding them for. You don't need to tell ChatGPT. They're my mom's dolls. She makes dolls. Made dolls is one of her hobbies, and. She needed some space to store them, so I've got some. I've also got other people's stuff in my basement. I've got Brooke's sisters have put some stuff down there. Her parents even have a couple things down there. We've got space to store stuff, so what am I going to say? No?
Well, he just said your mom, huh? Interesting request.
But it's not.
Does she have a thing for porcelain dolls?
Yes.
Some sort of family tradition?
She makes them. She makes them, whatever it's called, burns them, kilns them. And then roast them. I don't know what it's called. And then she paints them and she makes the clothing for them. It's really something that she used to do more back in the day. She doesn't do it as much anymore, but it got her through a lot of tough times. So there's sentimental value there. I don't want her throwing them away.
He says, that's wild. So, like, is this a hobby? Does she sell them?
Yes, it was a hobby. Well, I thought you were supposed to be intelligent. Why else would people be making porcelain dolls?
Questions. He says, that's wild. So, like, is this a hobby or does she sell them? And he wants to know if you ever get involved in the doll making process.
Okay.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yeah.
All right, I got a what would you do for you.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom lives about 20, 25 minutes away from my house.
Mm-hmm.
And she texts me.
You're going to pick up more dolls?
Yeah, going to pick up more dolls. Maybe take some of the dolls back. And she texts me, and she says, and she's been sick lately.
Okay.
Right? And so she sends me a text that says, hey, I just want to make sure that your phone is on and that you're awake because I really haven't been feeling well tonight, and I want to make sure that I can get a hold of you in case I need to go to the hospital.
Okay.
Now,
what time was that?
It was like at 11:30, something like that. Mm-hmm. Now, I see that immediately as soon as she texted it. I see it. I can even swipe over and see what time. Yeah, she literally just sent it, and I responded. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm here. I've got my ringer on all the way. What's going on? Do you need something? No response. So I'm thinking she could be in the restroom, something like that.
Sure.
I'll give her like a minute, and then I'm going to call her. So I call her. I start calling her phone. No answer. No answer. No answer. So I'm just calling and calling and calling, and there's no answer. And after about, again, I'm thinking she might have sent me a text like, I am not feeling good, and might have gone to the bathroom to get sick or whatever. So I did give her a couple minutes, but after calling for that long, I was like, I got to go out there.
Sure.
So I'm driving out there and calling along the way. There's no answer. So as I get close to her house, I get to her neighborhood, the neighborhood where I grew up, I'm coming down like the last main street before you actually turn into the subdivision. And there's nobody out. I mean, absolutely nobody. But I see some people walking the opposite direction of me across the street. They're kind of headed towards me from the other side of the street. And they look young. They look like teenagers, probably.
Right.
Your kid, your oldest kid's age, maybe, a little younger.
17.
Somewhere between their two ages. Yeah, something like that. And
at this point, it's teenagers, so you're frightened.
Well, I wasn't yet. I wasn't yet. But I'm driving. I've got the window down a little bit. And I'm just listening. I think I was listening to like the sports radio. And as I get closer, I notice that there's something lighting up over there. That they've got something that's lighting up. And when I look at it, it looks like it looks kind of like a long light stick. It's got smaller lights on the outside that are chasing themselves, and then like three or four bigger lights on the inside that are solidly lit up, like a purple color or kind of a black light color almost. But I have no idea what it is. Can't tell. I'm not overly interested either, but as I get closer, I start to hear a noise, a very familiar noise to me.
So it's a taser. And it's a stun thing that the stripper used on us in Louisville.
No. It was
I was about to get horny.
It was a paintball gun.
Oh.
And they started shooting my car with paintballs.
They did?
Yeah, they did. And so in that moment.
Oh, no.
Now keep in mind.
Buddy.
Yeah, I know.
I feel bad for you.
Well, but in this moment, I thought, okay. My mom still hasn't answered the phone. So there is part of me that thinks my mom may be in need of help, like emergency help. She might need an ambulance. That's the last thing she said to me.
Right.
She's not answering the phone. She could be unconscious for all I know. I don't know. That's part of
it. How far away are you from her house at this point?
I'm getting very close. I'm about to pull into her subdivision.
Like, are you in her neighborhood?
About to pull into her subdivision.
Okay, so they're outside, like on a main road?
They're on the main road right outside the subdivision. So I'm getting very close. I'm like, you know, a tenth of a mile or less from pulling into the subdivision. So I hear that sound. I know what it is. And then I hear the paintballs hitting my car.
Does your car out there have paintball stuff all over it?
Well, not anymore.
Okay.
But they shot it with paintballs. So I have two thoughts kind of simultaneously running through my head.
Those things hit hard enough to dent the car?
I don't think so.
Okay, I'm just curious. Put like, you know what I mean? Like hail?
Like
hail damage on it?
Maybe someone could tell me there's really powerful ones, but not the ones that I played with when I was younger.
And not the ones that they shot your car.
No,
there's no dents.
Okay. Didn't look like it. So two things run through my mind. One is, my mom might need help, so that should take priority. I can't get caught up in this. And then the other one, which this is, I guess, multiple thoughts, but it's all kind of in one. If I decide to yell at these kids or turn around, whatever, I'm not going to be able to catch them. They're on foot. They're looking for something to do. Also,
and they're going to shoot you with that paintball.
They could just shoot me with more paintballs. But if I scream at them, yell at them, that's what they're looking for. I'm sure other people have screamed and yelled at them throughout the night. And not only that, I literally, when I was their age, in that same neighborhood, used to throw paintballs, sometimes at cars. Mm. We had paintball guns, and sometimes we would just grab them by the fistful and just throw them. Because, you know, they break when you threw them hard enough to hit the car. So we used to do stuff like that. We were bored 14-year-olds, however old these kids are. So that's all running through my head. They're not doing anything you didn't ever do. But then there's also a part of me that's like, but they probably want to be all that. Because the instinct is to hit the brakes and scream at them.
Right.
Try and find a way to scare them. I don't know what that is, but they can't see me that well. All they know is that I'm driving a car, so they're probably not even old enough to drive. I can scream at them and maybe make them a little bit nervous. They're at least going to run. It's so instinctual in that moment. You know you're not going to... I'm not going to get it on foot and chase them. There might be people out there that would. There might be guys that would do that. Right. I asked my brother what he would have done.
Which one?
And my lawyer brother.
Okay.
He's like, oh, I would have absolutely screamed the adult at him. He's like, I wouldn't have accomplished anything, but I would have chased them as far as I could in the car. With my windows down, screaming at them. I probably would have pretended like I was going to shoot them. I don't know. I would have tried everything I could to scare the crap out of them. Which is the instinct that you have in that moment.
Of course. I was trying to think what I'd do. It stopped, for sure.
Yeah. And I just
But I would have thought, like... I don't want to get hit with these paintballs. Because I would have been like, well, what would I have done at 16 if somebody stopped? And I remember I was younger than that, but shooting windows out with BBs.
Ooh, yeah, that's bad.
And it was this old school that nobody was in anymore. And you could hide in the woods and shoot. I didn't know there was anybody in there. And after we had shot the windows a couple times, like three guys came running out. They must have been like they must have been doing like GED testing or something.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, so they used it for different things. And so there was like three guys and then like maybe 10 or 15 special needs people.
Okay.
That started chasing us through the woods.
On foot?
Yeah. They're like, get back here.
Because you'd be, so what did you
do?
So
they must have been teaching these special needs kids something.
Oh, okay.
Like
okay.
Maybe their GED or I don't know what they were, but they were clearly special needs kids.
Okay. And so they're chasing.
So I started, it was me and another guy. We ran.
And what were they saying? Were they
get
saying, we're going to call the cops?
Here.
Yes,
yeah,
I get
you're
back
in trouble.
Here.
So
that's the thing. I don't even know what to
say.
I got
so far down, I turned around and started shooting them with BBs.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a little Daisy Red Rider.
I've been
dang,
shot
but,
with those.
You know, pat.
Yeah.
And then my buddy got caught.
How did he get caught?
They caught him on foot. He was slow. I don't know.
Hold on. The special needs kids caught
your
buddy?
The three adults.
Oh, okay.
The three adults.
Okay.
But that's a frightening moment, just so you know. I don't know why.
No,
but
it's
three
scary.
Adults with 10 to 15 special needs people chasing you through the woods is like the beginning of a Rob Zombie movie.
Yes, it is.
You know what I mean? You're like, oh, no. What is going on? So even when they caught him, I was like, ah.
Getting chased by those adults is it's a rush. And when I was a kid, that was why we used to do this thing called bulldogging. I don't know if you ever did that, where you go to a house in the middle of the night and you get like three or four guys and you line up on the driveway and then you just run and throw your body, all the way to your body, into their garage door. Inside the house, it sounds like a car has hit the house. And we would get people who would run out of their house in their underwear, you know, these guys chasing us. A guy did have a gun one time. And, you know, I don't think they're actually going to shoot kids, but I think they want to scare you. Looking back, I know exactly what they wanted. They wanted to scare me. And that's what I wanted. I wanted to scare these kids. But I just couldn't help but think, you got to go make sure your mom's okay.
Right, sure.
And also, you deserve this because you did this to people when you were their age. So
you go check on your mom. She's fine.
My mom's fine.
Do you go back and look for her?
Totally
that's
fine.
Right. I went back and looked for her.
So I get back in the car and I was like, I'm going to go look for these kids. And I drove around. I'm like driving around these neighborhoods across from my mom's neighborhood. Mm. And at some point I realized, like, this is pointless. I'm driving through. They could have gone back to their house or whatever. I've driven around here way too long. But there's that urge of, like, I have to at least see them. I want to yell at them. I mean, that's part of what they want, too, right? That's the thrill of it.
Yeah, they wanted to chase.
I could. And so then I had to drive off without finding them. And it just the amount of rage that you feel in that moment. Like, I have been disrespected. There's paint all over the side of my car.
What color was the paint?
It was white.
White paintballs.
I guess on a red car, probably showed as good as anything, because you could see it, just white. Sort of looked like bird poop, except it was way too perfectly
splattered. Did it wash off easy?
Yeah, it washed
Did you go
off.
Through a car wash? It was gone?
Yeah, I just sprayed it off and washed right off. So
all right.
It's not the end of the world. But I just wondered what you would have done in that moment. If you would have even...
All right. I probably would have checked out my mom.
Would you get out of the car and chase them? Would you threaten... would you say things that you don't mean, like threatening to hurt them?
Yeah, maybe. I certainly probably would have chased them in my car.
Yeah, that's...
That's the first thing. Chasing them, as they're getting away, I may have thought, like, all right, if you get out, you're just going to get hit with these paintballs.
Yeah.
So, you know, what's the next move? You know what I mean? And so, you know...
I'm not going to be able to chase them.
I probably would have thought for myself, like, I probably would have chased him far enough, and then after a while, hopefully, like, you know, normal me would kick in.
Yeah, this
not
isn't
the one
that's
like, this is stupid. What are you going to do? Beat up a 16-year-old? Like, you're just going to get in trouble. Like, and they're going to hit you with paintballs. Like, whatever. My first plan of action, though, would be to chase him in the car and try to separate them.
Yes, exactly.
Get them to split.
I want them to run separate directions.
And then I'm going
to
pick
get one alone.
And
yes.
then I'm going to chase him down.
Yes, absolutely.
And he's going to have a really, really bad night.
Yep.
Because then if I get him separated, I'm going to tackle him, I'm going to take that paint gun from him, and I'm going to spray him with paintball bullets.
Absolutely.
That's my plan. My hope is that before it gets there,
you calm down.
I check out of that, and I don't know, man. I'm fine.
Because I had plenty of time to calm down. I'd gone to my mom's, and just to let you know, we're talking like a good 20 minutes passed before I got back in my car, and I still, like, my legs were trembling because I wanted to go find
these
guys
so bad. Right,
but
did they run after they shot you?
They were kind of running, you know, sort of. They picked up their pace just, I think, in case I had decided to turn around. But when I didn't do anything, it looked like they just went back to just walking, just walking down the street. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Part of me is like, yeah. What goes around comes around. I did that crap. And I can see now why when I was a kid, my older brother was like, don't be that kid. That's so you find. I'm like, well, we're bored. He's like, I get your bored. Do something else. Don't vandalize stuff. So I'm like, well, it's not that bad.
If I had time, too, when I checked on my mom. The other thing now is like, now I've got time. I may have grabbed a carton of eggs from my mom's house and looked for those kids and hit them with eggs.
Well, that would have been good.
I might have driven by and just pat one of those.
I mean, I was thinking
about
grabbing anything in my hands, like a water bottle. It's dark, but like I've got a gun. I'm going to shoot you. Just really try and get them scared.
I might have hit them with eggs. I might have looked for them with a carton of eggs and hit them with eggs.
Yeah.
Maybe not even told them. Followed them, wait till they got home, and then egged their parents' house. Like, I might have done that.
I'm keeping my eyes out for that purple. Those purple lights on that gun. Yeah. Now I know you, and I'm looking for you.
More from the pulpit coming up. The Church of Laszlo.
Preach, brother!
On 98.9 The Rock.
It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know. Could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo.
All right. So what's going on? You're scared? World War III?
Putin's coming? Yeah. We'll get to that. Who says I'm scared?
You are.
I'm never scared.
Not me.
You
call me Comrade.
Football game last night?
Comrade Laszlo.
It's no problem. I can call you that. Me too, by the way. I'm in. Just whoever's winning.
Yeah, we'll call you Sputnik.
Count me in. Yeah, but we can get on Sputnik Radio. Is that still on?
I don't know.
Last I checked, I think maybe it was still on, but I called them a lot asking if we could get
the
jobs. They never called
Comrade
me back.
Comrade and Sputnik.
Yeah. We'll do your radio show, okay? Just give us a call. The Monday
That's
Night Football
That's a good
game.
Show, too. Comrade and Sputnik.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty
it's not
good.
Bad.
The Monday Night Football game last night was in Dallas. The Cowboys.
Got their ass kicked.
Not so good.
You know, I don't... Man, I found it... I watched that game for a little bit, but... I caught up on other TV shows that I don't even really love. I'm like, oh, I haven't watched this. I haven't watched that. I just don't care about the Texans or the Cowboys. Like,
care about the Texans more than the Cowboys.
Like,
I really don't care about
the Cowboys. I could never watch a Texans game. Like, I just don't care. Like, I don't like anybody on that team. I don't like their uniforms. I don't like anything about it.
I used to really like the Oilers.
Me too.
And
I did like the Oilers.
I liked Warren Moon, probably. That's why I liked them.
I like Dan Pastorini. Earl Campbell. I mean, they're before my time, but, you know, I remember the likes of them.
Houston just seems like a good Texas city, you know.
My aunt and uncle live there. I have family that's there. I've been there. I like it.
Yeah, that oil money and tough and...
Yeah, I mean, great food.
Yeah.
Like, it's a cool
it's a
town.
Big
like,
city,
I go
too.
To visit them, you know, and I don't like the Astros, but I watch their games.
Yeah.
And we went to Astros games, and they're fun, but if you're like, I want to go to a Texans game, I'm like, no. And I usually buy, like, you know, hoodies or sweatshirts or something, and we were out there, they had, like, Texans. I'm like, I'm not interested.
I don't like their uniforms.
I got University of Houston stuff. I was like, you know, I like to have that stuff around. You're part of, like, you know, you try, like, some people get snow globes or whatever. I like to get the local sports team stuff.
Yeah, I know you do. But not Texans.
Yeah, I'm just not interested.
What about Titans if you were in Tennessee?
No, don't care about the Titans either. Like, no part of it.
I don't know if that carried over at all. Well, I don't really... I mean, I don't like the Texans, but I guess I'm somewhat... they're an AFC team, and they've been fairly good more than not in the last 10 so years, something like that. So I guess I will watch them if they're on TV. There's worse games. I really don't care about the Vikings. You know, I liked Kirk Cousins, but there's some of those NFC teams that I just feel absolutely no connection to. And the Cowboys are
I guess
so
I kind of, you know, I find the
stuff.
Vikings. If the Vikings are on, I'd watch them.
Really?
And
I kind of
history,
root for them.
I find them more interesting. You know, Randy Moss, Dante Culpepper.
I root for them a little bit. I want them to win. I feel like they deserve a win. They got good fans.
Rivals with the Lions. But I like their uniforms.
I do
like
their
purple.
Uniforms.
Yeah, it looks cool.
Yeah, that helps. I know we're like little kids, but I do. Uniforms are important.
They are.
Although those Texans uniforms, when they played the Lions, were kind of cool.
Well, I like the all red.
I might get tired of that, but I thought they looked kind of cool. But yesterday, before they're getting ready for the game at AT&T Stadium, the roof starts falling, like giant pieces of metal sort of falling off the roof.
You almost hit that guy, so.
Yeah. Damn, I just thought, what does it take for them to say, hey, you know what? The fire chief needs to come in here now and reinspect all of this before you can play a game. I would think that would be enough. When the roof was collapsing at Kemper when I was a kid, I think it happened like right after a Kings game or some sort of game. It was right after a game. Everyone was out of there. So, you know, that part's the same. You're lucky. There's not a bunch of people in there. But there's about to be a bunch of people in there. Isn't that kind of how that's like? It feels like a warning shot. It's also a new stadium. I don't understand how that happens.
As we have some scary moments at AT&T Stadium about 2 hours before kickoff of Monday Night Football in Dallas. A large piece of metal falling right onto the field. This all happened while crews were trying to open up that stadium roof. Thankfully, there were no injuries. Workers bolted another piece of loose metal to the frame so that it wouldn't fall during the game. Officials say high winds were likely to blame them.
Okay, you know what? We got another couple pieces here that look loose. Let's just bolt those up there and close the roof. And that's what they did. What are we going to do? We can't call off a game?
No.
It's Monday Night Football with the Cowboys. So, yeah, anyhow, the Cowboys lost. If you were listening yesterday, we said the Cowboys will probably win another game, but last night was not the game to bet on, I sure hope that you didn't. Snoop Dogg, I mentioned earlier that he cried on TV. Now, you know how I feel about Snoop. I love him. He's an American treasure, an American icon. He's the all-American guy. I love Snoop Dogg. I know he does a lot of these cheesy things people make fun of him for, but I got no problem with him making money.
No
problem with that. Sell out. If you don't want to sell out, that's fine, too. If you say, I don't sell my music to commercials, fine. That's fine. But I definitely don't have a problem with people who do it, because I know I certainly would if I could. If they wanted me to be on The Voice, I'd be on The Voice. Yeah. If they wanted me to host Dumbest Criminals on Peacock, I'd do it.
He's on the new Fortnite map.
Oh, yeah, he's on the new Fortnite map.
Eminem and Ice Spice.
As a matter of fact, I think last night, our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/churchoflaszlo, the end of the show, we raided Jason Mewes from Jay and Silent Bob.
Oh, okay, nice.
And he was playing. I saw Snoop on there, and he said hi to us.
Oh, okay,
he's been in here before.
Of course.
He's a super nice guy. Anyhow, Snoop, I don't know anything about The Voice. I shouldn't say that. I know something. I think these talented people who are hosts of the show are looking for these amateur talents to try and team up with, and then they want their amateur talent to win the whole talent show. Is that basically how it works?
Sure.
I think. There's no masks, right? That's
a
separate thing.
Yeah,
they're like a team. You like team up and you say, you're going to be on my team and we're going to take, you guys are going to win. So Snoop, it looked like from the clip that I saw, he's trying to pick which of these girls he's going to let through or which of these groups he's going to let through. There's this group of girls. He really likes them and he can't vote them all through. So he starts crying, like actual tears on his eyes.
I'm torn right now because I can't take all of y'all with me and I'm hurt and I'm supposed to be strong right now. I'm supposed to make y'all strong, but this is how you affected me. I love each and every one of you, just like my daughter's up there, man. That's what this feels like.
Okay, Lazo, you're the no crying at work guy. If a guy's going to cry, it should probably be sports related. Maybe at the death of a loved one, at a funeral, or you know, alone before the funeral, after the funeral. How do you feel about Snoop crying in public? Has he earned the?
Yeah, he's fine.
Right. He's okay.
Fine. Nah, it's a little soft, but yeah.
But with saying you remind me of my own daughters, and that's okay.
Sure,
it's all right. Because you can see the tear. You can see actual.
I mean, I wouldn't do it, but whatever.
Well, wait, I know you wouldn't do it. That would be bigger news if you did.
He got old. He's, you know.
He's sentimental. He's a nice guy.
Snoop bitch.
He's a dad. Whoa, okay. We don't have to go that far.
Well, come on.
I watched, there's a documentary about Shine on Hulu that came out yesterday or day before, something like that. Maybe it came out this weekend. You probably don't care about that, huh?
No.
But you know who Shine is. He's got signed with Bad Boy and then almost immediately went to prison for that shooting that involved Puffy. And now he's a politician in Belize and like trying to become the prime minister of Belize. And seems like he has a pretty good shot at it, too. He just got out of hip-hop and joined politics. But it was crazy because while they were filming that thing, all this Puff Daddy stuff started to come out. And part of what came out during all these home raids and the investigations into these allegations against Puff Daddy were new allegations about that shooting that Shine went to prison for. And Lazo, even though I know you might think, Shine, I don't need to watch a documentary about that, I think you would like it because I think you would appreciate how, it's not even loyalty, just how much integrity that guy had. He wasn't going to say that someone else had a gun. He wasn't going to lie and say that I didn't do it. Somebody else did it. He wouldn't do that. He knew he was caught at this level. He knew that the lawyers were probably working for Puff Daddy. His own lawyers were probably working for Puff Daddy to help make sure Shine took the fall for it. He goes through the whole thing, and by the end, I was like, man, I've never seen a guy in a documentary, like maybe in a movie, but never a real person like this who showed that level of integrity. At the end, they have to kind of bring people back to do more interviews for the documentary because they're saying, hey, there's all this new stuff about Puff Daddy, and this girl saying that Puff Daddy's the one who had the gun. She's the one that shot that girl in the face, or he's the one that shot that girl in the face. And he still wouldn't say anything. He was just like, yeah, it reopens a lot of old wounds. I'm distancing myself from Puff Daddy completely. But he just refused to talk trash, even though he went and did that time for 10 years. I thought it was pretty interesting. And also the fact that he became a politician. Now he looks like a completely different person. They said he got off drugs. His friends were like, look at him. He got off drugs. You can see he's glowing. I was like, is that it? Because he looks really good. And I don't know if I quit doing drugs, if I would look that much better. Maybe I would. If I quit all drugs and all poisons, would I look a lot better? Is that like a thing that happens?
Well, you wouldn't look worse.
Is your skin just magically
starting to look better? I think everything starts to look a little bit better.
I'm trying to cut back on sugar right now, and I started today.
Yeah,
I know the holidays are coming. Well, Jesus Christ, man. 36 grams of added sugar is all an adult male is supposed to have, according to the American Heart Association. So I'm measuring like my coffee creamer. You know how little sugar this is? I can't have any cereal. I can't have anything. I can only have 2 tablespoons of my coffee creamer. It tastes like crap.
What coffee creamer?
You know, it's just like Italian sweet cream.
Oh,
coffee creamer.
Yeah, no, I
yeah.
don't use that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I do now. Brooke got me hooked on it. I used to just drink my coffee black.
My mom comes and leaves it in the refrigerator. I'm like, God damn it.
I like it. It's already got the milk and the sugar in it. I just pour it right in there. It's got that corn oil or whatever, so it's extra,
extra
kind of thick. Yeah, I like it. Extra sweetie. I'm never going to be able to do it, man. Have you dieted before? Not just like the low-carb thing, but have you ever tried to count calories or weigh food or do any of that?
Hard.
I haven't either. I remember when I was a kid, a lot of my friends' moms did Weight Watchers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They'd weigh their food. They had little cards, and they'd make their food based on that. I don't know how I'm going to do this. The sugar thing's going to be tough. Trump really wants Matt Gaetz to be confirmed. I don't know if you've been keeping up with the Matt Gaetz thing at all, but Matt Gaetz, he stepped down last Friday or whatever, because the deal is, you know, he was under investigation for some allegations of misconduct. The allegations including that he had sex with a minor at a house party.
Okay.
That thing's been going around forever. But I guess the rule is...
I remember that. And like his buddy got in trouble,
and
right?
And he was talking... Yeah. But
there's
I guess
Venmo between him and his buddy who got busted for it.
There's
right?
quite a few things, and I don't know now that we'll ever get to know all the details, but when you step down, when you say, I don't want to be a senator, I don't want to be in Congress anymore, then they have to stop the investigation. That's how the rules work.
Right.
And they're not supposed to release the findings of that investigation.
Right.
But I guess if he does try and run for attorney general, like Trump wants him to, then they could start bringing up these allegations again. And now you've got people who've come out, including the lawyer for one of the girls, who says, yeah, my client, well, I'll play a clip here, but he says, my client says that she saw Gaetz having sex with a minor at this party and that he knew that it was a minor. Meanwhile, Trump is calling all of his senator buddies and saying, hey, we got to get this Gaetz thing done. He really wants him to be Attorney General.
The now former Florida congressman resigned his seat last week, ending a House Ethics Committee's inquiry into a series of troubling allegations, which Gaetz has long denied, including illicit drug use and sex with a then 17-year-old girl at a Florida party in 2017. What did your client witness at this party?
She was walking outside to the pool, and she observed to her right her friend, who was 17 at the time, having sex with Representative Gaetz. They were leaned up to what she described to as a game table of some type.
Okay, if I know that if I step down, if I'm not in Congress anymore, that they got to stop this and they're not going to release anything, I think I'd also just say, I don't want to be Attorney General. Just forget it. Just forget it. I'm not interested in the Attorney General position. Or do you say, go ahead, release this information. If I can get confirmed, I'll pardon myself. I don't know how that works.
Right.
Trump could pardon him, right, once he's in office. Not that they're going to say he necessarily.
Well, I think the House leader, whatever, Mike Johnson or whatever,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. We don't have to get too far in the weeds. But he said, stop the investigation.
He said, we have to stop it.
Yeah,
no investigating people who dropped out. That's how it goes.
That's how it goes. Nothing released. We don't want to be investigating people who aren't, you know, representatives anymore.
Yes, yes. And they said, well, you've done it before. And he's like, well, if it was done before, it shouldn't have been. Let's stop. We don't want to open Pandora's box.
I have my own theory. Like, we know, they did that whole documentary on Gaetz, right?
Mm-hmm.
Florida Man, I think it's called.
I don't remember, but sure.
But, and so I have my own theory of what's happening here. He's always been a Trump loyalist, and Trump likes him. And you can tell they like him. Like, in that documentary, they would text each other and call each other. Well, I think it's pretty easy for Trump to say, look, I'm just going to nominate you for attorney general. People are going to lose their minds. Even if Trump said you're qualified, you're not qualified, doesn't matter, right? They'll stop the investigation. You won't get confirmed. You can leave here with no charges and go about your business and go be a lawyer somewhere and make a ton of money.
As opposed to just resigning?
Yeah, as opposed to resigning, then, you know, it looks like you did it. There's all these other things. I'll cover you here.
So now you're saying it looks like he resigned because he's trying to get ready for the Attorney General position.
That's exactly what he's saying. Yeah, he's not resigning because the...
I want you to stop this investigation.
No, he's resigning because he's got a bigger position in Trump's cabinet. And then Trump is probably like, you know, I don't know, 50-50 you get confirmed. What do we know? But either way, all of this stops and you can go about your life and not go to jail. Congratulations. That's what I did for you.
Why did it take them so long with this investigation? It almost feels like that's something they hold on to in case something like this ever comes up. Like when they went after Kavanaugh, you know, like, right, in 1982. So I don't know. And maybe that's exactly what's going on. And maybe they're open about that. I don't know enough about how politics works. But they started talking about that investigation a really long time ago. And then we never got any, quote unquote, results from that investigation until now. We're getting lawyers saying, here's what I'm allowed to say because he resigned. If he actually runs, though, if they're trying to confirm him, then they can bring up that investigation? Is that how it works?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. I thought they could.
I don't think maybe.
You're saying what the speaker was saying is not even when he's running for...
Right, exactly.
Okay.
So then what they're saying is that he won't get confirmed because people will be like, we want to see the results of these, and then he's going to be like, we're not releasing him.
Yeah.
He's not a representative. And then... Trump can be like, all right, you know, look, they didn't confirm him. We'll pick somebody else.
Okay.
And then Getz can just blame it on the Democrats or whoever he wants to. I'm sure there'll be Republicans who are against it, too.
Yeah.
It sounds like Republicans aren't overly happy with this nomination of some of the people.
Some of them.
Right. So if he doesn't get confirmed, then Trump's like, I covered for you. You got it. Don't worry about it. Go about your business. And, you know, you're done as opposed to resigning in disgrace. You don't have to do that anymore. You can leave with your hand held high.
Right. I can't speak for all of us, but if he doesn't get the job, I think he's welcome to come work here. Would you guys agree? Like Matt Gaetz?
Yeah, I like the way he dresses, to be honest with you.
He's got the nice hair and everything.
Man, the pants and the suit that matches.
He's got some stories. He's got some stories. He'll go out on a smoke break with you.
I would imagine. I think that's what they're doing.
Well, that's what they said they're doing. I get what you're saying. I thought that once he was running, once they were doing the process... I just misunderstood. I thought that then they were allowed to bring up this
investigation.
Well,
maybe they are, but what I read was that they weren't.
Okay.
As long as he wasn't a congressman or whatever.
I saw the speaker saying, stop talking about it because he resigned. Yeah. And they said he was going to resign because they said, oh, this report's going to come out. So they said last week, he's going to resign. And I was like, I don't even know that he will. He might just say, fuck it and go with it. See what happens.
He knows what's in there, but it's super easy if he just called Trump and said, hey, put me up for something, even if I don't get confirmed. I'm sure Trump is like, all right, Attorney General, whatever. I got you. I mean, they're buddies. I don't know. Well, hopefully that doesn't even come off as like a bad thing.
They're saying Trump is...
I think it is a bad thing, but it's not something that... If you were in trouble, and they were like, hey, you know, you can help him out, and it doesn't hurt you at all, and just keep him out of trouble and no investigation, like, I got you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, all right, whatever.
They said he's calling around asking everyone to confirm him.
Oh, I'm sure he's trying. I mean, I'm sure both of them would like it to happen, but I think they're like, worst thing is that it doesn't happen, and, you know, whatever. You can go work wherever you want. Be a lobbyist. You have inside to me. You make millions of people as powerful lobbyists there is. You're good. Like, whatever.
Time for a smoke break.
Fire it up.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock. It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know. Could kill
the order of hornets.
Groupies infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo.
What's going on?
We're finishing up the news. Now, I know I'm only allowed once a month to bring this up. I'm not the one bringing it up, though. The news is bringing it up. And it is a story, and I haven't talked about this in well over a month, so I think technically I might be able to squeeze another story in this week because there is another story about this. But GLP-1 drugs, Ozempic, Wegovy, the weight loss drugs, and Miracle drugs, there's been a lot of stuff about them in the news. The big thing today is that with this new report that's come out, they say more than half of all American adults are eligible patients for GLP-1s.
Wow.
Based on weight or diabetes, or maybe heart conditions.
Just some surprising health news. Turns out more than half of the nation's adults are eligible for the wildly popular weight loss drugs Ozempic and Wegovy. According to a new study from JAMA Cardiology, about 140 million could be candidates for the drug.
Just last week, there was a report that showed that about 75% of Americans are either overweight or obese. And in 1990, that number was just over 50%. Wow. And the estimate is that 80% of people are going to be so by 2050.
We're getting bigger.
Wow.
50% to 75%, 80% by 2050. And I'll just work this in while I'm already talking about it, because the other news yesterday, I think it was yesterday, is that these drugs, Ozempic and Wegovy, they now believe are probably the best medication available for people who want to quit drinking. All of the available medications that are prescribed for alcoholics who are trying to quit don't work as well as these GLP-1 drugs, according to this thing that came
out
yesterday.
Crazy.
So it's this miracle drug. You already knew it's a miracle drug. It does all these things. It's now
lowers your A1C, helps you lose weight.
Yep. More people,
good for your heart.
More people eligible for it than statins now, which is kind of like a ubiquitous drug that people take once they're of a certain age.
Right.
This is like, talk about a gold mine.
Now, will insurance cover it, though?
Well, I mean, they cover it, like, as far as I know, they're still covering it the same way that they've been covering it, which is, depending on your insurance, it's still going to be pretty expensive.
Right.
Some people have insurance, and they say they can get it down to as little as $75-$80 a month. Other people I know who have insurance are still paying $400 or $500 a month. Some people say their insurance will cover all. I know someone who's definitely obese. There's no doubt about it that this person needs to lose weight for their health. And they couldn't get their insurance to cover it. It's the strangest thing. Now, I think they will now. Maybe at the time it was because the person didn't technically have diabetes. I'm not sure. But I think this is going to end up being those drugs that we're all going to take eventually.
Like one of them, if you have diabetes, not the other.
Right. One of them is
crazy.
Dosed for diabetes.
The other one's for weight loss.
But yeah.
I don't know if they're the same thing.
I thought... And there's been so much information about
differences.
I thought one was a different dose, that it was still semaglutide at a different dose.
It is.
And so
they
call it something
different.
If you
had it, the other one, couldn't you just give yourself more?
I feel like you could. Yeah. I feel like you could. I don't know. But, and also, just like anything, I'm sure they're prescribing it off-label, but it's just being able to get a hold of it and then making it cheap enough that people can afford it. Everyone is going to be taking this stuff, and it reduces all of these cravings we now know. It's not just food. They're thinking now that it reduces, they're saying it reduces your cravings for alcohol and all that other stuff, too. It could help you quit smoking, potentially. It's just like every month there's something new.
I don't know if they cover it just for smoking.
I don't know if they do. Probably not.
Hey.
But if you can get a doctor to say that they're worried about your heart or they're worried about an A1C level, something, I'm sure. And they do these manufacturer coupons where some people find ways. Someone on our Twitch I know takes it, and they said they're paying like $70 a month between the manufacturer coupon and their insurance that they've got.
I know there's a bunch of other ones, too. You see them advertised, so I don't know how that works.
Yeah,
either.
These other companies. So there's other companies, there, at least one other, that's come out with another GLP-1 drug that's slightly different. But you can get the same medication that's in Ozempic and Wegovy, which is semaglutide, or however you say it, you can get that from other companies because they are allowed to manufacture it right now because there's a shortage. And there's a rule in the United States that if a drug manufacturer can't keep up with demand, then other manufacturers are allowed to compound it. So when you see these ads on Instagram from someone that's, you know, I'm not going to put names out there, but we've seen them.
Right.
They're probably getting a compounded version, and they'll sell it to you. Now, what happens when these companies like Nordic or whatever this thing's called that owns Ozempic, once they get up to speed and they say, we're producing enough, will those other companies suddenly have to stop?
Mm.
You know, if you're getting your medication from one of those and then suddenly it stops, that could be a problem too. I could see a situation where, like, unlike any other drug before, we're just kind of letting people make it because we'll get you rich. You guys are going to be trillionaires by the time this is done. The whole world's going to be on this stuff. But let's just make as much of it as we can because it reduces all of these health risks, not to mention helps people to lose weight and feel better about themselves and have more energy and all those things. I want it. I want it. I want it. I'm trying not to eat sugar today.
Why do you need it?
I'm trying not to eat sugar. I'm worried about my heart.
Oh, you're worried about cravings.
I'm worried about
diabetes.
No, I'm worried about diabetes and I'm worried about heart disease. I'm not technically yet. But I can get levels sometimes like,
Oh, really? So you're in that pre-diabetes
phase? Probably. And my whole family has it. I know it runs in the family.
Right.
And I eat a ton of sugar. And if I take this stuff, from what I've heard from people, they say those cravings for that stuff goes down. Like, I won't have to measure my Raisin Bran Crunch because I won't be hungry for it every night.
Right.
That would be the... That's a game changer.
That's the idea.
Yeah. Yeah, if it works for you, that would be amazing.
It doesn't work for everybody, though,
It doesn't, but it works for a lot of people. Seems to work for most people.
Do they know why it doesn't work for some people?
Not that I've heard, but I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure they're looking into that. Right. And I wonder if these new GLP-1 drugs... that aren't semaglutide, whatever the newest one is, I wonder if those are being tried on the people who...
Right, who doesn't work on.
Yeah, I wonder if it'll work for them. Putin, he's the president of Russia. He is at war with Ukraine. Been going at it for a while now. Been going back and forth. The United States has been sending a lot of missiles and guns and bullets and all that
lawyers,
stuff to
guns
Ukraine.
And money.
Yeah, that's right. Over to Ukraine. And they're giving it to the Ukrainians. They have to be the ones to push the button. They have to be the ones to fire the stuff.
Sure.
But we send them all this equipment. And Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, knows he can't win this war without NATO and the United States sending him a bunch of stuff. He's worried now that Trump got elected. This war is going to end soon.
Right.
And not in the way that he would have wanted it to end. But before he left office, Biden decided to make a pretty big move this week by saying, we're now sending you these long-range missiles and giving you our blessing to shoot these long-range missiles into the heart of Russia.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal. That is a huge escalation. So Putin comes out and says, well, you know how all these nuclear-armed countries have this rule that you're not supposed to ever use nukes against a country that doesn't have nukes. He says, well, now we're going to use nukes against any country who's being supported by countries that have nukes. That's as good as them having nukes, so we're allowed to use them too. But really what he's doing is letting you know, nukes are still on the table. I can't say this enough
Breaking
times.
Breaking overnight, some alarming news from overseas. Russian President Vladimir Putin has formally lowered the threshold for his country's use of nuclear weapons. It comes just days after the U.S. allowed Ukraine to strike inside Russia using American longer-range missiles.
I got to ask Biden if you're listening, Joe. I know you listen occasionally.
I know.
Joe, why did you do this? Like, do you think that they can just win this thing before January? I mean,
because he's hoping,
why escalate this now? Why let them send these long-range missiles into Russia? I don't understand it. PBS is going to have to make a frontline special for him before I can understand this, because I don't get the logic. And what do the NATO friends think? Are they saying, yeah, okay? Are they the ones who said, yeah, you can be the one to give the okay? Like, do they? I am assuming they have those talks about who's going to be the one, which leader is going to be the one to say, we're giving you the okay to do this. Because they worked in the beginning together really well.
I don't understand how all that works. I'm an idiot when it comes to it. So best for me not to pontificate on it. But I don't even understand, like, when you try to break everything down to yourself, like, you know, how do you tell them they can't attack Russia when Russia's attacking them?
Right.
Why? Who says that? You can only play defense. Well, that's a recipe for getting our ass kicked.
Yeah. Well, I mean, are they saying, too, and this is a question, are they saying that you can't, or are they just saying, we're not going to give you missiles or our blessing to shoot long-range missiles into Russia? We are not going to, because what's happening here is, who's shooting the missiles into Russia? It'll be us. Sure, we're giving it to a Ukrainian person to push the button, but we're the ones who say, we're sending this there for you to do this. So, in essence, we're kind of shooting the missiles.
If you give them the missiles or you don't, whatever, I don't see, or where they got them from, I don't see how you could tell them you can't shoot anything into Russia when there's a war going on.
I'm asking you, if they had access to long-range missiles without us, would the United States say, hey, don't shoot those? Or they just say, we're not giving you long-range missiles until now? Which way is it? I don't know either. But it does seem crazy. I watched that documentary about the first days of the war. And what Putin would say on TV after you see firsthand accounts, that cameraman is filming everything in these cities as they're being blasted away. And then you see what Putin says on TV about, oh, well, that hospital was filled with soldiers. Well, I just watched that guy walk around that entire hospital with a camera, and there were no soldiers there, women trying to give birth, and people who were injured. And it's a mess, man. It's a mess.
Are you worried about World War III?
Speaking of war, nah, I don't worry about anything. I saw a guy at the zoo, and I know I've talked to you about this, but I saw a guy at the zoo on Saturday. He had his Desert Storm veteran hat on.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you ever wear your Desert Storm veteran
hat? I don't even know where it is now, to be honest with you. I think it's in the closet somewhere.
If I get you a new one, will you wear it sometimes?
A Desert Storm?
Yeah, Desert Storm veteran hat.
Yeah. It's got to be a cool one, though.
They're all cool. They are all those black ones, and then they say Desert Storm veteran, just like the ones Vietnam. They're all the same.
Like
it's that black
one.
Yeah, those black hats with the white letters and the yellow badging around it. You got to wear one of those. You earned that. You earned that. You just say, all right, yeah, but I mean, it's pretty cool. You earned the right to wear one of those. That's a big deal. People in this country, even if we disagree on certain things, most of us agree on that we appreciate veterans, right?
Yeah, sure.
And when you see someone else in that hat, they go, oh, hey, you were in Desert Storm. I assume that's a big reason for it, is that you can strike up a conversation with someone else. Were you Army? Were you Navy?
I did say it to one guy one time in a Quick Trip.
He had a hat on?
He had on a Desert Storm hat. And I was like, yo, when were you in there? And then we just talked for a quick second, and that was it.
Yeah, isn't that nice? Plus, yeah. Wouldn't your kids think, look how cool that is. Dad's got a Desert Storm veteran hat on.
Can I wear it backwards?
Absolutely, you can wear it backwards. Yeah. I think you should. All right, so if I get you one, at least you can wear it around here.
Cool.
I'll get you a cool one.
It does take some getting used to.
The Church of Laszlo.
Okay, everybody just calm down.
On 98.9 The Rock.
Yo. Yo. So we got it. I've been trying to do this for a long time, trying to get Laszlo to wear a veteran of Desert Storm hat.
Man, I have some Navy football hoodies and...
Yeah, I know, but like the actual hat that veterans wear for World War II, when I was a kid, there was a lot of those, not so much anymore. Then you see a ton of Vietnam still.
Used to, yeah.
We used to. You're seeing fewer, unfortunately, but you do still see quite a few Vietnam hats. Those guys are now the age that the World War II guys were when I was a kid. Right. I say kid, I mean, I remember going to the bar at 21 and there were still World War II vets.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, they were old, but there were a couple of them there. And I mean, then they could have been lying, but they were old enough. At that point, they were in their 80s. So, but you see those hats, and I've always thought, Laszlo's a veteran. He should get one.
Wants me to wear a Desert Storm hat.
Yes. I asked Laszlo about it one time, and he said, oh, my dad got me one. I said, where is it? It's in my house somewhere.
It's in the closet.
Where is it? And I've never seen him wear it. So I saw a guy wearing one this weekend, and I thought, why
does he have a Desert Storm one?
Or did he have
a Vietnam War one?
No, it said Desert Storm. It said Desert Storm, and then along the side of it, it had real big print that said veteran. But I didn't check to see if it said which branch. The one I just got you says Navy. There's lots to choose from, but I think it needs to be black because that's the general color.
Okay.
And it says Navy veteran. And in the movies, any of those big action movies, you know, like we're being nuked or there's asteroids coming, whatever it is, they bring in those military guys, and there's always a bunch of guys in civilian clothes, guys and gals, wearing those hats that say veteran. And it says whatever war they're supposed to be a veteran of.
Right.
And I feel like that is such a badge of honor. I know you don't like to...
It doesn't define me.
I understand that it doesn't define me.
A lot of guys who spend time in the military, and that's fine if it does.
Yeah.
It defines them.
Yes.
Like, that is what defines them. That doesn't define me.
And maybe their experience was the reason. You know, if they were in Vietnam for a long time.
Maybe, you know, they liked it more. I don't know. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it defines them, you know? And maybe it's just my dad. My dad never really let it define him until he got older. When I was young, they used to send, like... I remember I had a bumper sticker on, like, my closet door because they sent him, like, a Vietnam veteran bumper sticker.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you should put this on your car. And he's like, I don't need to show off. I remember him saying that.
I get that.
And he was like, it is what it is. I was like, well, can I have it? And he's like, yeah. And so I just put it on my door. And I don't know why, like, him saying that to me one time was just that, like, that thing. Was like, you know what? It is what it is. I went, you know, I wasn't the general. I didn't drop the plans.
No.
Okay. You know what I mean? I wasn't even a quarterback, really. I just, you know.
Not asking you to put on a...
Special teams, I guess, you know.
Yeah, but you were 17, man. I'm not asking you to put on a general's uniform. This is a hat that there is no doubt you earned the right to wear. And those people who wear those hats earned the right to wear them. And I understand this idea because
I have a buddy of mine I still talk to. He was really good friends within the Navy. His name was Marcus, and he was an officer. And I remember when I was getting out, I had all the ribbons.
Yeah.
Boy, you get like combat duty, overseas, war, whatever. And I was getting out, and I had taken all that stuff and just put it in a garbage bag to toss it. And he was like, no, man, you can't toss that. I'm like, whatever, dude, I'm tossing it. Anyway, I tossed it out.
Yeah.
Years later, he sent it to me and said, hey.
He grabbed it for you?
He's like, I grabbed the badges.
And you're glad he grabbed them, right?
Yeah, I guess, but I don't know where they are now, but yeah.
But also, I totally get the idea of not wanting to brag about it.
Right.
That you think, oh, this will, now people will think this defines me.
Plus, when I got back, I got in trouble, you know what I mean? It wasn't like the greatest ending, like people know the story, so, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, but you did sign up at 17 with the permission of your parents.
I did.
And it was a long stretch of peacetime, and you're thinking, I'll just go get some money.
Almost 4 years there.
Tour the world. And then you end up, boom, shortly after you sign up, they say, hey, Saddam's invaded Kuwait, or whatever it was. I don't remember what started it.
I have to remember.
And they're like, look, we're going over there.
Blurry.
But we're talking like 91?
Well, I mean, I got there Let's see.
You were already
1990.
Over there, 1990. Right? Because you're in the Navy, so you're already over there, I'm guessing.
I went there when it was, and I was looking it up because I have to remember, I went there when it was Operation Desert Shield.
I've seen that name.
So that was like when they went, I guess, just to protect.
It wasn't a war.
Kuwait, yeah. Right? Like, you know.
Right.
And I was there, and I remember that we declared war while I was there, and it switched to Desert Storm. So it's Shield into Storm.
Okay.
So that's Desert when I was
Storm
there.
Is definitely.
And it looks like Shield started in 90. So it went from 90 to 91.
And 91 is when Desert Storm started, right?
Right.
I'm pretty
and
sure.
Then Operation Desert Storm began on the 17th of January, 1991. So I was on the ship, I remember.
Okay. I remember being in school.
And my buddy drinking booze.
Yeah, and suddenly they're like, here it goes.
We were on watch when it happened. We were in the back of the boat just hanging out. And he had stolen some beers from the bar and brought them on. We were sitting back drinking, just hanging out, smoking cigarettes. You know, the boat's at sea, you know what I mean? Everybody's asleep.
Yeah.
And we go up, and he calls me. He has these little, like, they're called, I don't remember what they're called now, but they're like headphones like this.
Yeah.
Only they work on sound only. Almost like a tin can, right?
Oh.
In case you lose power. Sound power devices.
Like those old airplane headphones that have the tubes that just stick right into
their
arm.
And they run. I've got them on, and he's like, dude, you got to get up here right now. And I'm like, okay. So I go up there, and he's like, I'm like, what's wrong? It's this whole long. He's a radio man, so.
Had you become friends with this guy?
Yeah, we're still friends. He comments on my stuff.
Okay.
On Facebook. I wouldn't say we're still, Facebook
still
friends.
Still talk.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And, there's this long, looks like a receipt. I don't know anything about this, what a radio man does. That wasn't my job.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's that? He's like, we declared war an hour and a half ago. I was like, what? And he's like, yeah.
Of all the
I'm supposed to be monitoring that. I'm like, oh, no.
So they had declared it before he was drinking the beers and smoking cigarettes. They declared
it. No, we were out there drinking beers, and they declared it while we were
drinking
beer.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he should have been watching it. Hey, we declared war, and he's drinking beers.
As soon as it happens, he's got to go wake up the goddamn captain of the boat. Like, we're at war.
Yeah.
There's a two-hour time difference for me and this dude are drinking beer, smoking cigarettes in the back of the boat between when we open, wake him up.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you going to do? He's like, there's only one thing I can do. And I'm like, what's that? He's like, I got to break this machine and then fix it.
That's right.
Oh, I forgot about that story.
Right. He broke the machine.
He's like, I got to break it and fix it. And
because
then,
he would have been in a lot of trouble.
He's like,
yes,
tell the captain we're at war for 2 hours.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be monitoring this thing. So he kind of took it apart and put it back together and then went in and ran up. He said, hey, I've been working on this
thing. Did he take the original pages and throw them in the ocean?
No, he just took it and said, because it still comes at a certain time. He's just like, we didn't get it.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't printing out whatever. I don't know what the lie he told him. So again, I didn't have it. But anyway.
Well, you were a fireman. You could have started a small fire and been like, there was a fire over here.
I was like, I don't know, man. All I know is there's not a fire, so I'm all right. You need to figure out what you're going to go tell that guy. But anyways, he told him it worked out. He ended up getting an award for it.
Oh, good.
That is true. Some sort of award. I don't remember what it
was. That's good.
But, fixing this thing during wartime or something.
They called him up. Here's your ribbon.
They gave him a ribbon for
fixing this thing during wartime. Do you remember after they declared war? So you're like, oh, my God, they declared war. He's got this whole thing with the machine. But part of you's got to be thinking, what are the odds of this? We're going to war. I should have known when I signed up for this. Do you remember the first call from your mom after war had been declared?
No, so, there's a bunch of stories for that, but I didn't write my parents or call them while I was there.
That's how they told you to, right?
They made me.
Yeah, they made you.
Yeah, so.
That even during that time, I thought that was like later on the captain was mad at you.
If you some sort of shore, I would go. You could go to a phone and I would call them.
Oh, so you couldn't call them from the ship?
No, we didn't have that technology. We didn't have cell phones. I don't even know if cell phones, I'm guessing cell phones would have worked, would have been easier.
Not the way that you sat on
I'm guessing
phones
when you're
something.
Out there now, you can probably just use your cell phone and text people, I'm guessing, but we didn't have that, so they just had like a phone bank. Like if you got to like a base,
I've seen it in the movies.
No, you go
I've
to the phone
even
bank.
Been in Top
it almost
Gun
looks like a prison phone
bank.
20 phones and guys just lined up waiting to call. So
right,
I would just call my parents if I got there.
Right,
but I never really checked in with them.
But see, so if you wore this hat,
but no, I never thought of it like that. I never thought of it like how unlucky am I, or like I didn't plan on this. Honest to God, like it is the crazy. I don't know if boot camp works. I don't know how it works. I don't know what it is, but they just tell you what to do and you go do it.
Yeah.
But like, hey, we're going to the Middle East. And before we went, they were like, you got 30 days to go home and hang out with your girlfriends and family or whatever. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Then you went, and then you had to be back on this day.
Probably almost disassociate a little bit. It's like a light form of shock. This is what we're doing.
They flew us over there.
Yeah. And that was that.
Yeah, because some guys stayed. So the ship that I was on wasn't big enough to sail all the way over there. So they put it on like a bigger ship.
Okay.
And the bigger ship drives it over there. And then they put it in the water.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So they put it on the ship. The ship drives. So like four or five guys stayed with the ship at that point.
Yeah.
They stayed on it to make sure it was working and everything. And then it took like, I don't know how long it took for them to sail the goddamn thing over there. And then we had that amount of time. Then we got back, and then they flew us over.
So you fly over to the Middle East.
We fly over to the Middle East on like American Airlines.
And then they dock the ship.
How about they rented out American Airlines just for us?
And you're like in Saudi Arabia or Kuwait, and they dock the ship.
Yeah, they landed us in, I'm going to forget the name of the country. Bahrain.
Oh, Bahrain. Okay, so Bahrain, you go over.
That's where we were. We landed in Bahrain, and that's where basically our ship was stationed. Was at, we have a, I guess we have a U.S. naval base of some sort.
I remember even as a kid, they were teaching us about our allies over there as this was going on. Like, Saudi Arabia is our friend in this. And pointing out the different countries on
the map.
The
home to the U.S. Navy's 5th Fleet and Naval Support Activity, Bahrain, the U.S.'s only permanent shore naval base in the Middle East. So that's where
you go.
There you go.
Now, see, if you were...
But that's how... Like, you know,
exactly.
It just took me a minute to try to remember where the hell I was.
But you did. And I'm telling you, I think if you wore that hat
and
once in a while...
And we used to go to... there was a bar in the Sheraton Hotels where we used to go, and there was a band there, and they would play, like, American music.
It's like what my dad did in the Navy. He played music in a band.
Well, there was, like, a... But it was, like, a real band.
Yeah.
Like, not like a Navy... Well, I'm not saying he wasn't a real band. I'm saying,
my dad,
like,
was an American. Yeah.
They were... That was their job.
Yeah.
They worked there.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't in the military.
Right. They cater to these military people that are over there filling these bars.
Was this
I remember every night they would go crazy because we had a bunch of guys, obviously, you know, like anything else, from New York. And he would play Ace Frehley's Back in the New York Groove.
Of course.
And those guys would just go nuts. I remember, you know, like, I remember parts of it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Was the same time as the taxi driver in the hotel room full of...
Yeah, I was over there, yeah.
See,
not if allowed to drink. I had a taxi driver took me to a speakeasy.
Ramadan, I think.
Mm-hmm.
If you had the, if you wear this hat once in a while, because you're going to have it, I bought it for you. Mm-hmm. If you wear this hat once in a while, you put a sticker like that, even if you don't put it on your car, if you put it on the garage door or closet door at the house, I think maybe your kids go, oh, yeah. And then they can ask those questions, because I had so many things I wish I'd asked my dad and that I didn't get to ask my dad. You know what
right.
I mean? There's that whole part of life that he didn't really want to talk about it.
Yeah,
he wasn't
right.
against it. He just, it didn't come up. He wasn't going to brag about it.
He didn't really define him, right?
Exactly. But I wanted to know that stuff, and I wish I'd asked him earlier in life, you know? And I just feel like you've got a lot of stories. It is doesn't define you, but it's something you did, and you earned the right to wear the hat and to say hey to another person who you see wearing a Desert Storm hat to say, hey, where were you? And
well,
have that conversation.
I will wear the hat.
Thank you.
The Church of Laszlo.
The Church of Laszlo. On 98.9, The Rock. The Rock. The Rock.
I just want to tell you, you know, people are talking about, you know, Caleb Williams perhaps not being that good.
Yeah, that's been a topic of conversation.
See the big thing? Because I want to tell you, at the beginning of the year, if you guys remember, I said, watch out for Bo Nix. I think he's the best of them all.
You did.
And people laughing at me.
You also said you didn't believe in some of these guys that everyone else was saw.
No, I thought maybe Drake May. I'm not sure, but I thought Bo Nix was a sleeper. You get Bo Nix. I think he's going to be good. And now they're saying Bo Nix, not only rookie of the year, maybe MVP.
Wow. Well,
I'm saying.
Really?
He's playing good for Denver. Like, really good.
About Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I mean, but he had a bad game the other day.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Yeah.
I heard.
Bo Nix is second in Rookie of the Year odds right now to Jaden Daniels.
You know who they were talking about yesterday on that show that you like? Is it The Speak or The Talk? The show that comes on after Nick's show?
Yeah, Speak, I think.
Speak?
Yeah.
I turned the volume on for that for a little bit. You know what they were talking about?
Hmm.
Talking about MVP, who should be MVP.
Jared Goff.
They were talking about Goff. Yeah. They were making the case for Goff.
Yeah, I think, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. So, I know there's been a lot of negativity. I mean, the show that precedes it, Nick Wright, sitting there talking about trash, called him a pedestrian.
A civilian,
whatever it is. Yeah, you can't have a civilian quarterback and win the Super Bowl. Well, next show, they were talking about guy might be MVP. He's up there.
We'll see what happens.
I've not watched Knicks very much. I mean, I saw the Chiefs game.
He
didn't look bad in the Chiefs game. It just, there weren't a lot of big moments for either team in that game. But
he's just one of those guys, if you watch college, like, you know, at Auburn, It was like, you know, he really struggled there sometimes, but you're like, man, like in certain games, like an Alabama game, I remember, you're like, man, this Bo Nix guy is tough. And then he went to Oregon, and you're like, all right, this guy's good, man. Like, I don't know why people hate him. And then he played for a long time, like 6 years in college or something. Like, you know, he's older, he's more mature, he goes, like, he looks to me, and I think he went to the right situation. You know, he's with Sean Payton, looks to me like Drew Brees.
Yeah.
You know, doing the same thing, quick out of the hands, you know, move around. Like, it's like, I think if you're good, you're good. All those guys are good, but you also got to go to the right situation with the right team and the right coach who gets you, you know? And I just thought, man, Denver's a perfect spot for Bo Nix.
I'm surprised about Russell Wilson. Honestly, I would have sold Russell Wilson a long time ago. You know, to the buy-sell game, like, who are you buying, who are you selling? I just thought Russell Wilson looked like he was done.
Right.
And
he was just with the wrong guy.
I honestly thought, well, see, and I thought maybe the only reason he was ever good is because he was with the best guy for
right.
him.
Right, yeah.
And he and Pete just had something that he wasn't
sure
going to be able
to
replicate.
But he looks good again.
But now he looks good again.
That's why I say it's like,
scary.
You know.
Well, you believed him so a little bit. Every time.
I still did. I believed it. I was like, he's not
when
done.
He played for Denver, I was like, no, done. Russell Wilson's quarterback, they're going to lose. And you're like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's Russell Wilson. His stats are pretty good, you know, but. Yeah, I think he's still good.
Bo Nix is the one you buy stock in?
Yeah, I think, Bo Nix is going to be
good. Like,
I don't know if he's
going to
be better than Jaden Daniels. I don't even know if he's going to be better than Caleb Williams by the end of it, but I put my money on him that he would.
You think
sure.
he's going to be a good starter, though, is what you're saying?
I think he's going to be a solid starter for Denver for 10 years.
A player that a lot of other teams wish they had. That's what matters.
They wish they drafted beforehand.
Yeah.
They're trying to draft somebody else and somebody else and somebody else.
Yeah. That's what matters.
Yep.
I feel bad that kid from Lee Summit that was a quarterback. I know I think he's a backup
he's a
somewhere
backup
now. But
somewhere.
Yeah, you know, even though it was Denver, I was hoping it would work out for him.
Pretty good life. He went to Seattle too.
He did. And look, man, you played in the NFL. Like that's it. It's like Josh Freeman. You know, also a local guy. You made it. And so people can say whatever they want. Oh, you're only there this long. Made it to the NFL. You started as a quarterback in the NFL.
I think if you play sports in college. You're a stud.
Yes.
If you play sports in college, you are a stud.
Absolutely.
I don't care where.
No, even a D2 team, if you're doing it.
NAIA, whatever.
Yes.
If you're playing in college, D3, whatever.
Yes.
You are community college. If you're playing, you know, football.
You're good.
You are good.
Drew Locke,
yeah. Now, if you get to the NFL and you're the backup quarterback, like, I get it. At that point, you're just comparing them to other quarterbacks. That's the problem.
And there's all these
models get compared to other models, not normal people walking into, you know,
right.
Arby's this afternoon.
Is like, Giselle
if that model that you don't think is so hot walked into Arby's behind you, you'd crap yourself.
Right.
Same thing, watching, you know, but NFL quarterbacks are compared to NFL quarterbacks. So, you know, and I get it, but, yeah, they're all good.
Yes. And
Drew Locke is clearly
if you get there, even
player.
If you just get there and like, oh, we might draft this guy as a backup somewhere, and that's your career.
Yeah,
well, that's pretty impressive. But if you go to the NFL and they're like, hey, you're going to be our starter. We're going to put the franchise behind you. We believe in you.
That's awesome.
Even if that doesn't pan out, that is, you're talking about .000000000.
Yeah.
You made it. You are one of the best of all time. And I don't like how people trash some of these guys because what?
Right.
Because they didn't have Mahomes numbers or because he became a backup quarterback.
But, we all do it. I do it, too. Like, I talk about how I don't like Josh or Aaron Rodgers.
You're comparing to other quarterbacks, though.
Right, yeah.
Yes, that's fine. But when these guys, you know, when you talk about someone local, and like, oh, well, he only played for this long.
Right,
he only played for this long in Tampa. Yeah.
Right.
But how long did you play?
Right, nobody,
never.
No.
And for those of you who did play, I'm guessing the odds are you didn't play in college. And if you did, you know, and everyone around you knows, you're a stud. Yeah, because
right.
you played in college, which is pretty good. So if you went to the pros, that's something else. I mean, I don't know if you have dreams as fathers, if you think sometimes when you're laying in bed at night, what if one of my kids became a pro athlete? I'm sure you have to have those thoughts. It has to cross your mind.
Sure,
what if my kid became a pro athlete? What if my kid became a famous stand-up comedian? What if my kid became an actor? You know, some sort of celebrity. I'm sure you have those thoughts.
Of course.
But you also know that the odds say it's not going to happen.
Yeah, of course.
So when you see a family get excited because their kid is playing well in college, and then their kid is headed to the NFL, well, absolutely they deserve that excitement.
Right, of course
they do. Absolutely they should. You know,
and you can't, I don't care who you are, if you went and played any sport in college, people will critique you, but the one thing that I promise you that none of us did, you may even say you were better than them, and maybe you were, but what you didn't do and what you didn't see was the nights they were in the gym by themselves.
Oh, that
the
too.
The nights they were out in the backyard,
sweating.
I don't know, punting a football or practicing their soccer moves or whatever it is. That they would not quit. The fact that they didn't go out with their friends on Friday nights. The fact that they, you know, didn't have girlfriends who required more time.
Didn't eat a whole pizza.
The sacrifices that they... That's what makes the difference,
yep.
Right? So even if you were as talented as them, the fact that they were willing to sacrifice so much more than I ever was,
yes.
So much more than you ever were,
yes.
Right? Like, I mean, and general people in general, like that sacrifice, you know, that, there's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way we'd be able to do it. Those guys who are out there doing it, you know, they're stud athletes. Stud athletes.
Absolutely. And the families
deserve
to be
proud. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is very good.
Right, but he's an exceptional athlete.
Yeah,
there is that.
Comparatively, I guess, sure.
Did I tell you that my ex babysat Josh Freeman? Did I tell you that one?
No.
I didn't tell you that?
Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah, we found out that she was a babysitter. So I think I was literally like watching football, and I said something about, oh, you know, he's from Kansas City. And she's looking at him, she's like, wait, I know him. So then she talks to her family, and... She's like, I babysat him. I was like, wait,
really?
What? You babysat him? Yeah, that's a small world, right?
Cool, yeah.
It's pretty cool. And so when these local, anyone local goes off and becomes a celebrity, of course we do it with the comedians, Sudeikis and Rudd. And
uh-huh, yeah.
When these athletes go off and their families are proud of them, well, goddamn right they're proud of them. They should be. And if the family's sitting around talking about, you know, how great their son is because he made it to the NFL, or
they should be.
Parents would be doing the same thing.
Of
Your family
course.
Would be doing the same
of
thing.
Of course.
Josh Freeman is an exceptional athlete.
Exceptional.
And think about these guys, too, in high school.
We compare them to other guys
starting quarterbacks in the NFL.
Right.
Think about how good these guys were in high school. They knew, you know, most of the time they know this person is exceptional. They're the best in the state.
Right.
They get to college.
And how many times they get to college and what happens is it requires more sacrifice.
Yep.
Now the pool is getting smaller.
In the next level of athleticism.
Next level, because now everybody was the best player at their high school.
Exactly.
So now you got to play against everybody's best player at their high school, right?
Like
when
you're
in high school, you played some teams and the kids sucked. Whatever,
right.
They weren't going to do it, right? Like, I get it.
Yep.
You know, and then you get to college and you're like, man, all these dudes are good.
Yeah.
So what do you got to do? You got to work even harder.
Yeah.
So for those guys who get to college, they're like, how many people washed out of college? Well, they sacrificed a ton. They were done sacrificing. Or maybe their talents couldn't get them any further.
Yeah.
I get it. But man, but now you sacrifice more to think how much you had to sacrifice in college now. Now you're in college. Now all your friends are going out.
Yeah. And
they're adults. They're having fun. And you're like,
you're early adulthood.
I got to get to practice at 5 a.m., and then I got to go take this class, and then I got to get back to practice, then I got to, right, do this, and I got to study a playbook, then I got to do this. Now it's time to go to bed, I got to do it again. Like, man, that's not easy. Most people won't sacrifice all that.
No, and now you, in college, like you just said, at this next level of elite athleticism, they're now saying, oh, you're so good in this level of elite athleticism that we think you should get paid
right.
millions of dollars a
year.
There's
someone on our Twitch, G4 Cannon, who apparently doesn't agree with all this, and she's like, so people, that doesn't mean that these people are good people.
No.
Like, why would that even come into the conversation?
Did I somehow give that impression?
But I mean, no, I don't think OJ's parents are proud of him.
Right.
But that doesn't take away what he could do on a football field.
Right.
Like, what he did on a football field was amazing. And the sacrifices that he did to get to where he was. Now, was he a bad dude? Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, that doesn't matter. You know, your dad played at KU soccer.
Yeah.
And then became a douche, a self-centered douche. Okay. Dude was good at soccer.
Yeah.
But you can't take that from him because he was a bad dad.
Right.
Or like after he got out of college, he was not a good employee. That happens a lot. A lot of dudes who go into the minor leagues and are pitchers and then, right, like they wash out at a million other things and they didn't make it to what their final goal was. Of course. That happens, but that doesn't take away any of their accomplishments on the field.
No, and now reading the text line here, natural talent, dude, 6'6". Like, yeah, okay, that does help. That does not automatically mean that you're going to catch a ball like Travis Kelce.
No.
That does not mean you're going to throw a ball like Patrick Mahomes. That does not mean you're an athlete. You
no.
can be tall. My best friend is 6'6".
Mm-hmm.
He did not play sports. We played some sports when we were kids. I think, you know, if he's listening, he's not going to be mad at me. Graham, you know, you weren't an exceptional athlete. Neither was I. You wrestled for a while, you know, and even that, you're like, I think maybe there's other people that are better than me at wrestling. Just being 6'6 or 6'7 and being in good shape is not enough. It takes more than that. And what's the sacrifice? They're asking, what's the sacrifice? The sacrifice is not doing all the things that every 18, 19, 20-year-old young adult wants to do. You can't do it. Sure, they might do it sometimes, and it becomes a big scandal when they do.
Right.
So you have to spend time in the gym. You have to watch your diet. It's all discipline. At a young age.
Going out and lifting weights or working out when you don't want to.
Exactly.
You don't want to. That's discipline.
100%.
That is discipline. I don't have it. I never did.
Most people don't.
No.
So you mix that with the athleticism, and you get to a sport like baseball or football where millions of people watch, and it brings in hundreds of millions of dollars. Yeah, you deserve the salary, too.
Right.
That's the other thing that bothers me. They get paid too much. No, they don't. Mm. No one's going to pay anyone too much.
No.
They don't do that. Bosses don't do that. They don't pay people too much.
It's the world of supply and demand.
Yes.
And Patrick Mahomes deserves everything he gets. Why? Because he's one of one.
That's it.
There's one dude out there who's as good as him. That's it, right? Juan Soto's going to get a ton of money this time. Why? He's one of one, man.
That's it.
Like, you know, there's, you know, Bobby Witt got that big contract. Why? Because he's one of one.
Yep.
Like, of all the people in the world, he's the dude.
Yeah.
Everybody else can sit at home and be like, oh, I would have been better. Maybe.
Maybe.
But you're not.
But exactly.
You're not.
Up next, speaking in tongues.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
So, in this country now, not everyone, but a lot of us have decided to go from Halloween pretty much straight to Christmas. Thanksgiving has become almost just an extension of Christmas. When I was a kid, I think the rules were basically that Thanksgiving happened, and then maybe even on Thanksgiving Day while the family was still there, they helped decorate the house. You put up the tree.
Sure.
You decorate all that. That used to be a Thanksgiving thing. Now more and more people are putting up their decorations early. Young adults, middle-aged adults, putting up their decorations early. And I don't know why this was necessary, but a group of psychiatrists decided to look into this.
Let's analyze them.
Psychologists. And, yeah, analyze them. What does it say about you if you put up your decorations already?
This is the first year I've ever put them up this early.
Me too. Yeah. So it's weird because I'm like, you're bringing this up, but I've never done this until now.
Right.
And it was because Brooke said, like, why don't we put them up early because the time change has been depressing. It's so dark. She's like, I heard that it can improve your mood. So I was like, I'm fine with that. I don't care. Mm. Also, it does feel like when you decorate at Thanksgiving and then take it down by New Year, it's a lot of work for a fairly short window there. You know?
Yeah, I guess.
I like having the stuff up. Anyhow.
I like having it up, too. So I was just like, oh, I'll just do it.
Yeah, it looks good. The psychologist, Dr. Carmen Hara, said decorating early reveals concealed emotions and some conscious behavioral tendencies, including narcissism.
Oh, no.
Even if the person technically doesn't have NPD, narcissistic personality disorder, I'm assuming, far more people are self-centered in nature than we can estimate. Narcissists derive a sense of high satisfaction from being the center of attention, from being praised and being applauded. Now, look, I don't even like wearing a Halloween costume in public. You don't either.
Right, no.
Like going to those parties. I don't want that attention.
Right.
And I'm not inviting people over to see my Christmas decorations.
Mm-mm.
It's for me. It's for my fiance. We enjoy it, right?
Yeah.
So that doesn't count, right? I'm not asking you to look at it.
No.
I didn't decorate a bunch of stuff in my house either. I do a very minimal thing on my house.
Yeah, I have two little, I don't know what they're called, you know, the plastic, well, whatever.
They just stay in the yard? They get the feet that dig into the yard?
No, it's like two, they're called glow molds or whatever.
But they're not the inflatable ones.
No, they're the old-timey plastic ones.
I have one of those.
Yeah.
I have a Santa Claus like that.
I have two of those, and I just put them outside.
Yep.
They're outside now.
I've got one of those and a couple metal things. It's nothing. Mm. It's not that big of a deal. I'm trying to make people who are going for a walk or driving through the neighborhood feel like, you know, people live in these homes and we're excited about the holidays, whatever. And you don't have to be religious to like Christmas. I want everyone to celebrate Christmas. Jews, Muslims, atheists, deists, whatever.
I have Hanukkah stuff up all inside my house with Christmas.
Yes.
I've got it everywhere.
It's
just a feeling.
It's a feeling. It's an American holiday.
Exactly.
And people say, oh no, but it is Christian. Now you're saying that America's Christian. No, I'm just saying Christmas. What's more American than that? Buying a bunch of stuff?
Yeah.
Being in a hurry to buy a bunch of stuff you can't afford? Giving it away
to people?
Because it's a holiday, so this time
it's
you're going to get it.
I like the Christmas stuff up, too, because I think, you know, some of my favorite memories are just, I don't know when it was, but, you know, sitting around the house with Christmas stuff up. So I'm like, you know, I want to make sure that the boys have that memory. And I think if it's up a little bit longer, then maybe they'll remember it more.
Yeah.
That's all.
I think that absolutely tracks when I think back to being a kid and seeing this stuff. I think that's what triggers that safe kind of happening.
Exactly.
And it's dark out. You know, when we get home, it's dark out. It's dark all night. And so it's nice to have the artificial glow of these LED Christmas lights. Yeah. I enjoy it. This
we could both be narcissists.
We could be. The psychologist.
I've been called one before.
Yeah, me too. Not by a psychologist, but that's why I don't go to one.
Well, we had a psychologist on. He said we weren't.
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean, whatever. It was on our podcast.
But we also had that psychic on, and she said we were. And she said we were going to die from STDs.
Oh, yeah.
So that haunts me. You don't think about it, but I'm still pretty haunted by that.
Yeah, but you lick buttholes.
She was that is really his thing, not mine. I've done it.
You said you like it.
So rarely, but it's not, it's not a go-to
like
thing.
I'm just saying, that's how you get
depends on
hepatitis.
Who it is.
I'm not sure.
Okay, but. Well, I don't have that. So anyhow, this psychologist goes on to say that these character traits of being praised and applauded can easily be fulfilled if you turn your house into a Christmas winter wonderland. And she says decorating early also may fill a void, making people feel happy when they otherwise wouldn't. Yeah.
Yes, that's why
What's
you do
wrong
it.
With that?
Well, that's why, you
that's
do
why
it.
I did it. But it also gives people a chance to show off or paint a picture of a perfect family.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell myself that I'm... It's like making your bed on steroids.
Of course.
I am trying to come home to a house that I go, I've put this stuff up. We've done this together. We are living here, and we are caring for it, right?
Right.
To me, it's like making a bed.
Plus I think it gives you a good feeling, so what's wrong with that?
Right. I could get out of bed every day, not make the bed, leave the door open, get dressed, leave my clothes on the floor, and go to work. And
I
come
home
sometimes. To that. Yeah, you can come home to that. I just don't like coming home to that.
Right.
So this is not for other people. If someone wants to come over, they can come over, but I'm not like, hey, come look at this. Everyone come look at my house.
Well, I live on a cul-de-sac, so it's literally not for no one comes
just
down my street.
Just those two neighbors, right.
Yeah.
That's it. You're fine. And this whole, well, it may also fill a void. Yeah.
It's weird, though, because I did drive by, like, I went down my thing, and I do think it's early. I know I did it early. I was like, but I looked, and people in my neighborhood all have their Christmas trees up.
That's what you're
there
saying.
Must
I noticed
be a
it
feeling
too.
Of, like, you know, like maybe.
This year.
And maybe it's just because, like, you know, times have been tough, man.
Yeah.
It's like, man, if I could just get a feeling of a little bit, a sense of normalcy, and things will get better, and hope. Like, Christmas is almost like opening day.
Yes.
It's like, hey, the end is coming of this year. You know, the new year's coming. Maybe, I don't know why I think the beginning of a calendar year
makes any difference.
But maybe this year will be better than the last, right?
Yes.
And so, I feel like it's, so, you know, I think it makes sense why people might be putting up their stuff a little bit early this year. Like, it hadn't been great.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And I think you're signaling to other people, too. Like, hey, we're in this together.
Yeah, well,
let's all try and be happy.
That,
you may not think it, but I think it does kind of give that off to people. They see that stuff and they go, hey, you know what? All these people are saying, hey, we're not giving up.
Yeah.
Yeah, milk's $6
it's
a gallon.
Better.
But we're going to figure this out. You know? And now is the time that. And not only that, it's dark and cold, and it's about to get even darker and colder. And we can survive it. We're going to make something good out of it. She also goes on to say, the last part, she says that people tend to try and cover up trouble that's going on in their home. Rifts, fights, maybe someone's even thinking about getting divorced, whatever it is. And that we try and mask all of these problems in our personal lives by putting up tinsel and going, look at how beautiful our lives are. Well, okay, maybe. But also, isn't that good for us, too? If I'm saying, hey, I haven't given up on this house yet. I haven't given up on you guys.
Yeah.
We're still doing this.
Right. I think there's something to it.
I think this...
What if I was giving up, like she said, going through troubles and getting a divorce? Is it better then that I just don't put up anything?
Well, I want to know.
Why? Because that's it. What's the other option? Then you just be like, yeah, no, I'm not. Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm out.
This idiot wrote
Let's put up the tree. No.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, why? I don't know. I mean, I'll listen to her. She's a psychologist. I'm not, but...
Well, she wrote a book, and
it's called Why You Shouldn't Put a Christmas Tree Up?
It's called 13 Things Mentally Strong People Don't Do.
Oh, and what don't they do?
Well, now I got to read the book to find out.
They don't give you the other 13?
Well, no, you got to read the book.
Well,
I don't know.
What number is 11?
I don't even know if decorating for Christmas is one of the 13 things. What if that's not even on there? She's just adding stuff.
Call her and get her on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it, Snow Cone. I'll give you her name.
The Church of Laszlo. The Church of Laszlo. On 98.9 The Rock.
Yo! That it? We done?
That's it. We're going to go home to our narcissistic, self-absorbed, Christmas-decorated homes. And it's Tuesday, so there's no sports on. There's nothing to watch because I've already watched everything. It's over. I got to find something. Oh, you know what? Somebody told me that spy show thing on Peacock is good. They've been promoting it like crazy. It looks like a Jason Bourne kind of movie, except it's a series.
Inside Man?
No.
Is it on Netflix?
It's on Peacock. It's on Peacock. Someone will tell me what it's called. They've been promoting it like crazy. And a friend of mine
watched it. Luke Cage on Netflix.
What's that?
It's a UFC series. No, it's just a story.
Oh, it's like a dramatization thing?
Yeah, I don't think it's based on anybody real.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah. I don't know if it was like a documentary.
It's not great.
Not great?
No, but it was a good waste of time. It wasn't bad.
I didn't even see it.
But it did have, like, John Jones in it and, you know, real UFC fighters. Apparently it was French. It started out French. It's overdubbed or something.
Okay. They do that a lot.
You want to waste some time. I think it's like 6 episodes.
The Shine documentary, I watched that last night. I watched that thing on Netflix about the girls that went missing in the Amazon rainforest after the plane crash. Did you watch that? That's dubbed.
Nope.
Yep, they used ayahuasca to find them. So if that doesn't intrigue you.
It doesn't.
I don't know what else will. Well, I thought it might not. So I'll be looking for something else to watch tonight.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Watch that thing on Peacock.
What is it
about? The Jackal. Maybe it's called The Jackal. I don't know. It looks like a Jason Bourne kind of thing, except it's...
Who's in it?
It's episodes. That guy who kind of looks androgynous, who was in some of those later Harry Potter movies. Not Harry Potter,
movie,
but the,
right?
No, it's a series.
There was a movie at one point.
Oh, was it? Maybe it's a movie that's been turned into a series.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Bruce Willis.
Oh, that Jackal?
That's
is it
called
the same
Jackal,
story?
Right?
That movie was terrible. I do remember the Jackal.
Is it the same thing or no?
I don't know. It could be. That didn't even cross my mind. I forgot all about the Jackal with Bruce Willis. But
Richard Gere?
Is that a Michael Mann movie?
Sidney Poitier?
This is the guy that's in those later Harry Potter movies, The Beast of whatever, Snow Cone. You watch those? Your kid watching that Harry Potter stuff?
Nope, not yet.
Fantastic Beasts, is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah, that guy.
He also played the guy with ALS,
he's kind of androgynous looking, yeah.
Yeah, the scientist.
Stephen Hawking.
Hawking, he played Hawking in a movie, yeah. I watched that.
The Day of
he kind of looks like Hillary Swank, doesn't he?
Is it the Day
Who's also
the
kind of androgynous. Maybe it's the Day of the Jackal? Someone on Twitch said it's the Day of the Jackal.
Jackal.
There you go. I was pretty close there. I got Jackal, Snow Cone. Someone told me it was good. It looks expensive.
Eddie Redmayne?
That's him. That's the guy. There's also that Kevin Hart show on there with Sam Jackson. I haven't watched that yet. The one about the guys trying to build a casino in Atlanta. I thought you would want to watch that.
Yeah, you love Kevin Hart.
Yeah, you love Kevin Hart. He's in a lot of stuff. And that looks like an expensive series, too. You know the one I'm talking about?
It's on
Peacock also.
What's it called?
It's like in the 70s, and he's trying to build a casino or something, working with gangsters. Sam Jackson's in it. There's a bunch of people in it. Terrence Howard is in it. It looks good. So we should watch that tonight.
This Jackal does not look good to me.
Yeah, me neither, really. Let's watch that Kevin Hart thing. It looks good.
What's it called?
I don't know, but someone should be watching it. Looks like they spent a lot of money on it. And when they were teasing it forever, I thought, oh, I'll watch that when it comes out. And then it came out,
Kevin
and I was like,
Hart, Peacock.
I don't know, maybe watch The Penguin instead. You know how it goes.
Yeah.
Infinite
Fight
choice.
Night, the $1 million heist.
There you go. Yeah.
The night ends with a brazen heist that transforms Atlanta into the Black Mecca.
Yeah, I would check Rotten Tomatoes, but I think NBC owns Rotten Tomatoes, so usually their stuff gets pretty good scores. I don't know if you've noticed that. All of their series and anything original on there is like a 98%.
Hmm.
You go, well, I mean, maybe they're not... tweaking it.
Don Cheadle's in it.
Yeah, Don Cheadle's in it, too. Yeah, he's got a huge cast.
Good show, Don Cheadle. Stay positive, kids.
The Church of Laszlo.